Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Pei Hei. We're holding right at the Halakha Mishnah. Hariat muteret l'chol adam ela la'aba ula avich. How about if a guy says to his wife, he's giving her this get, and this get is meant to be only a get, which is kosher for all people, except that you're not allowed to marry my father, you're not allowed to marry your father, you're not allowed to marry my brother, you're not allowed to marry your brother, you're not allowed to marry an Eved, or an Eved Kochavim, or for that matter, anybody else for whom Kiddushin wouldn't be an actual valid Kiddushin, which is, of course, any of the Arayas of Issacharis. So that is considered to be okay. So even though in the Mishnah before we had the Chachamim telling us that if you were going to leave anybody else, it would be considered to be a shiur in the get and it would be usur. But since over here, anyway, the get does not have any impact on her ability to marry these people because there's no possible kedushin with these people. So because of that, it's not considered to be a shiur in the get, even according to the Chachamim. What about, however, if he makes such a condition, benogeas someone where kedushin would be chal? So, for instance, hareat muter tochol adam ela almanal kohen gadol, rusha v'chalutz al kohen hediot, mamzeret netin al Yisrael, bat Yisrael mamzer netin. So, obviously, the part about the almanal kohen gadol, rusha v'chalutz kohen hediot is not really meaningful because she is a grusha. So he doesn't have to talk about the case of Amar Kohen Gadol and so on. But okay, we're including all of the Chayvei Lavim together. So let's say Mamzeret Netina, we have the old Machlokas about whether this is the D'oraisa of Shiva Amamim or whether it's the Gezeira of David. Bat Yisrael Mamzer Netin, or for that matter, Komishi Yeshla Alav Kedushin. So these are specifically including other cases. Everyone's going to ask what other cases are that we haven't mentioned, but other cases where there's an Isser, of course, that Isser could be an Isser Aseh as well, as we're going to see. But any case where the condition would be Chal, because the only Isser is Isser Lav and Isser Aseh, so then, even though it would be Ba'avera, she's not allowed to marry this way, but before this get would have been made in this fashion to retain some element of the original marriage, she would have been able, at least theoretically, to be mekudeshet to such people. And now that he wrote to get in this way, now the original marriage is still on her to prevent her from kedushin being chal. And therefore, it's considered to be, even in this case, a problem with the shear in the get, according to the Chachamim who posseled in the previous Mishnah. So now, what exactly did we mean to include ulechol mi? We have two repetitions, right? We have one mention in the Reisha, kol mi she'ein alav kedushin, and we have a mention in the Sefer, kol mi she'yesh alav kedushin. What are each one of these klolot? So the klola in the Reisha, what other people are there no kedushin on? Well, that's obvious. Any other erva, where there's a chiyav of karis. So this would include shar chayvei kritut. And what about the klala de seifa? What would be included then in the seifa's klal? Well, in the seifa, we would include, of course, any other iser that was an iser lav, and or, of course, we could have amoni, moavi, netini, mitzri, vadomi, even though those themselves are actually considered to be a iser asei. Okay, so the Isser Aseh is exactly the same question. Fine? Okay. I mean, this is pretty clear that this was meant to be in the at least in the Rashi, it seems to be there. Now, what would be if he said that this get is good for everybody except I don't want you marrying this kid? So he names a particular child, and that child is beneath the age of bar mitzvah. So anyway, there's no way for her to marry that child because a katan does not have kedushin. I mean, but he is going to grow up. So the question is whether we look at the situation as it is currently, And as it is currently, the get really being phrased in that fashion does not prevent her from marrying anyone that she would otherwise have been able to marry. So that's the question. What would be the idea of a chutz mikedusha katan? So what's the halach over there? Do we say that, well, listen, a kedusha katan, anyway, there would be no way to marry. So mi amrinan hashta, at this point in his life, lav bar havayahu, and therefore at the moment that the get is chal, it's not preventing any type of accessible marriage. Or should we say, but look, I mean, if he's going to grow up, so then at that point, this get is not going to be a get for him, and therefore we should see it as a shiur in the Gittin. Adima Atilachal Havaya. Omar Leiser, Rav Nachman told Rava, listen, you can see this from a Braisa. A Braisa says like this, that if a ketana is mitkareshet, then even though her kedushin was a deraisa, and her father had accepted the kedushin for her, but since gerushin is ba'al korcha, therefore it's not really nogea whether she has das or not. And even if her kedushin was the deraisa, her get is still perfectly okay, because if she was only married minrabbanan, so then there's no problem. But the chiddush over here is that she can be mekabela to get. So now you'll ask, so what does this have to do with your question? It definitely does. Listen, you have to ask yourself this. Why in the world would this girl be migureshet? I understand that it's Baal Korcha, therefore we don't need das, but there's another issue here that you never thought of. Doesn't it say in the pasuk, V'yatzava itala ishacher? And didn't we utilize that to say that there's an absolute comparison between the dinim of kiddushim and the dinim of gerushim? So wouldn't it follow that in the same way that she cannot become mikudeshet on her own, she can also not become migureshet on her own, just simply because gzirat hakatuv v'yotzeh v'hayta. So obviously, when the Torah uses the word v'hayta, it's because of the fact that ultimately she will be. What's the difference right now? So right now she can't get married on her own. So in another year she'll get married on her own, you know? So atilichlal havaya. So that means that the Torah considers a woman who is ultimately ru'uya to marry, that's considered to be able to be migureshet right now. So therefore, it's true that the future is going to define whether or not it's going to be a limitation of her get. Well, over here, this child, what are you going to say? He can't get married today, but the Torah doesn't look at whether he can get married today. The Torah looks at being capable of marriage, ultimately. So if that's true, Lagabi, the V'yatzavahaita of her, why would it not be true of his status for Kiddushin by him? So that would mean that this is not a kosher gerushin, according to the Chachomim, because it's restricting her, because of his marriage, to marry this boy sometime in the future. Okay, says Rav, I've got another question for you. Chutz min ha-noladima, what about if he said, this get is a good get other than to people who are not as yet born? So you won't be able to marry people that are born in the future. So do we say, well, right now these people don't exist, so it's not really limiting her, or because we're talking about people who will be born, she won't be able to marry them then, and therefore we should look at it as a shiur in the get, even though currently it's not, because you're going to be, and that doesn't follow necessarily from the din of the kata. Because the katan as an individual exists, and the get is now saying that she won't be able to marry him as an extant human being, despite the fact that he is going to be shayach to marriage very soon. Mashenkin, over here, there is no extant human being that is being limited by the get. So is that the same or not? What do we say? So Rav Nachman again brings a raya to Rav. Well, it says the answer right here in the Mishnah. Because, look, didn't it mention that if she is muteret to anyone except for an eved, or except for a goy? So we said over here in our Mishnah that the get is kosher. Why is it kosher? Remember, this particular Eved may be reborn, meaning he'll become a Ben Chorin, or this Ger may be reborn. That's the Goy will become a Ger, and therefore he'll be essentially like reborn, right? Kekatan Shenaylat. And nonetheless, we're saying the fact that he may be reborn in the future, that's not Nogea now. Currently, he doesn't exist in terms of the Dinim of Gittin Kedushin. Oh no, Trevor, please don't leave us. So why would we say that anything differently over here? Evet Vavi Kachovim Nami Avidi Demegayre. Yeah, okay, I understand. It's a very cute proof, but it's not really 100% a riot. Why? Because, look, when she's talking about the people who will be born, there are people who will be born. So whatever, I mean, they are ultimately going to be born. That's who she's referring to. I mean, if she's talking about someone who's currently an Eved or a Goy, I mean, what are you going to say? They will be reborn. Maybe if they make that determination, but it's certainly not part of the standard scenario of life. So maybe that's different. That's not considered to be a shear in the get. So this doesn't prove it. I got another question before you try to prove this again. My other question, said Ravatar of Nachman, how about if he says that you can marry anyone except for your sister's husband? So it's a very interesting situation. Because as long as her sister is alive, so he's not limiting her. Because anyway, she's not allowed to marry, because a man can't marry two sisters. But if her sister would die, then she would be able to marry him, right? So what's the halacha over there? Do we say, but at this moment, she is not ru'uya, sashka mi'alo chazila, or do we say, well, what if her sister dies, and then she becomes ru'uya, and now she can't marry because of this get with the shiur in the get, so it should be considered to be a shiur in the get. So here Reb Nachman also answers Rava with a raya from the Mishnah. Tenitua. It says over here, if the get excludes a particular Eved or a Goy, now, why would that be good? An Eved or a Goy, they could eventually become Gerim or Bnei Chorim, right? So at that point, they would be Ro'i. So, I mean, that's the same. That's not the same as the case you asked me before. You told me you don't accept that proof. Okay, I understand that over there, if you're talking about someone who will be born, so that is going to happen. It's part of the way of the world that people are born. But, I mean, over here, we don't know that the Eved or the Ovid Kechavim will be Megayer, and we don't know that this husband is going to keep living or he's going to die. So it should be the same thing, that we look at the current situation. No. There's nothing so sure as death and taxes. But when it comes to the question of Geras lo shchicha, misa shchicha. Okay, I got another question, says Rava. That was a pretty good one. What about over here, if the guy says, you are muteret to all men, but you're not allowed to sleep around with anybody. You can only get married. Yeah, he knows what kind of women he's married to. So I'm giving you a divorce, but this divorce is only kosher for marriage. Masha Inkein, if you sleep with anyone without marriage, then you're going to be considered an adulteress because you're still married to me vis-a-vis that. So what's the din? I mean, Lamaisa b'nisuino lo shir. I mean, he didn't leave a shir in the get b'nogea her ability to marry someone else. Or maybe that's not the point. The point is that shir bevia. I mean, he's made it impossible for her to have sexual relations with whomever she wants. And so that is part of a get. The get is that you are not under my control and not considered to be married to me. And here you're saying you are married to me. So Rav Nachman said, you can learn this also from the Mishnah. Take a look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if he writes to his wife that you're muteret for everybody except for my father or your father, and so on, that's kosher. So you tell me what the situation means. Does it mean on condition that you don't marry your father or my father? You can't marry your father or my father. Obviously, he can't. So therefore, what he's saying is, on condition that you don't sleep with them, right? I mean, what else could it mean? But then that would mean that the only reason that it's not considered, it's a brilliant answer. The only reason that it's not considered to be a shiur or a get is because anyway, you can't sleep with them. But if he's talking about a regular person, he says, you can't sleep with Mr. X. So then that get is no good because he's limiting her status of being a Pnuya. A Pnuya can sleep with whomever she wishes. So therefore, it must be that La'aba v'lavich hudelo shir. It's only because anyway, she wouldn't be allowed to sleep with his father or her father. But if he would make this tonight about some Mr. X in the world, then it would have been considered to be shir. Hola acher shir. That's a very, very brilliant proof, but it's still not 100%. I'll tell you why. Because, look, I mean, when you say don't marry, I mean, marriage doesn't have to be legally defined. I mean, like, once he's talking about his father and her father, I mean, it's sort of a kinky kind of family, right? So if that's the case, so maybe when he says you don't marry, it means marry. Maybe he knew that his father wanted to marry her. I don't know. And okay, obviously it's not legal, but it still looks like marriage. So Dilma Benisui, even though that's a little weird, but the Ovar Vinsin. So then it would be talking about to literally that he would go and marry her, but maybe in Achinami, maybe in terms of Znut, even for another person, not her father, it would have been considered to be a perfectly good get. I don't know. Okay, I got another question for you, says Rava. Suppose you tell this wife, she's allowed even to have sex with whoever she wants, but no kinky sex. He knows his wife, and he wants her to cut out this kind of anal intercourse, whatever. So he says, I'm giving you this get, but nothing kinky. So what's the deal? I mean, he isn't limiting her ability to have sexual relations with anybody. So bikidarka haloshir. Or do we say, what do you mean? But he was. This is part of sex. And he's leaving out that part of sex. O Dilma, Mishkevei Shakti. The Torah says that there's various ways to sleep with a woman. So why is he saying, no, you can't? That is a limitation. A fascinating question. In other words, is it limitations in the relation? Or is it literally limitations in terms of the physical engagement in the relationship? That's a brilliant question. Is the marriage focused on no other relations? Or is the marriage focused on no other connections? Wow. Brilliant question. How about if he said, in all things, we're not married, except that I'm retaining the rights for Afaras and Adarim. What's the din over there? Do we say in anything that has to do with the physical and emotional, even relationship, you know, I have no control over you. I'm maintaining a technical control over your Nadorim. So this is even stretching the envelope further. Would that be considered part of the marriage issue? So Mahu, do we say, well, I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with the marriage, right? So Benisuin Haloshia. Or do we say, now, wait a minute, that's not so pushing. Because when the Torah describes the right of a husband to give a faras nadarim, it stresses the fact that he's her husband. It says, isha yikimenu, isha yiferenu. So then that means that the Torah is actually seeing this as an innate part of the ishut relationship. So maybe the get would need to sever that connection as well. How about if a guy says, I'm giving you this get, other than if you marry a Kohen, you're not going to eat truma from him. So is that benisuin aloshir? So once again, all right, the fact that she'd be able to eat truma from this other guy, I mean, that doesn't define the marriage, does it? So then he hasn't maintained control of the marriage. Or we're going to see that there. Pasuk says kinyan kaspo. Kinyan kaspo means that if we're calling her not the kinyan kaspo of the second coin, but his kinyan kaspo, so then that is ipso facto a limitation in the marriage because the marriage to him would normally have been called kinyan kaspo. How about if he says, I'm divorcing you? The only thing is, I'm keeping the rights to inherit you if you die. So he just wants to hold on to the money, you know. So we could say, well, that's not part of marriage. Or again, over here, we could say, look, the Pusik actually gives the right of Yerusha as part of the din of Lishe'ero HaKarovimah, the Arashota. So then that means that we're calling it specifically She'ero, and that means that he still views himself as shared flesh, so to speak. That's the meaning of the She'ero, and therefore it would be considered to be a shiur in the Gerishin itself. How about if he says, interesting thing, he says he's not limiting her physical experiences. He's not limiting her ability to marry anybody else. He's not limiting any of the rights of marriage. This is an amazing question. How about if he limits one of the ways that she could get married? So he says to her, you're welcome to marry whoever you want. I have no control. The only thing is that the person who marries you has to give you a ring. He can't write you a contract and say, you are my wife. There are three ways to make a wife. So he cancels one of those ways, which is the contract. So, I mean, over there, obviously, he's not changing anything in terms of the marriage, right? All he said was, chutz mikidushayach bishtar. So do we say, so there's no limitations. She could achieve everything by taking a ring. So, like, what's the difference? Okay, fine. So she'll get a ring instead of a star. Maybe he likes her. He wants her to get the diamond ring she's always been dreaming of. You know, I mean, what's so terrible about that? Would that be a limitation on a marriage? What's the havamin? Ah, because me, Amrina, and Efshin, the Mekadosh, Lebekesev, Ulevia, you can achieve exactly the same results by using the other two modalities of Kiddushin. Odilma, once again, we're stuck with our Vyatsava Haita in a new way. Because Vyatsava Haita is not only a hekesh of Kiddushin to Gerishin, but since the Torah lumps together any type of Havaya, so it calls all Kiddushin a coming into a relationship, so then that would also be for sure a hekesh of the various modalities of Kiddushin are all compared to each other. If you're cutting that out, so then that itself would be a limitation of the get. So if I'm going to prevent you from getting married in any way, it's as if I prevented you from getting remarried. And that would be a shear in the get. Teku, all of these questions are a problem, except for the first one. First one was the one about the katan. And there we had the beautiful raya that it's not considered to be a get, according to Rabbanan, because even though currently he's a katan, he's going to be a gadol, and we learned that out gufa from the diyuk that a katana is able to accept her on kedushin, and it's not a violation of a yatzav haita. The last eight things that we asked, those remain also sveikas. And now we are ready for our intrepid, what happened to him? What happened to Sir Richie?
Huh? There we go. Good. Zook the Halak Mishnah.
Wow. The sun shines in Finland, all right.
The storm is over. Everything is normal, and my family is going back today. So we have one more week of solitude, of quiet, peace. Although it was wonderful having them here.
Baruch Hashem, Shatisku. Gufa shall get. So now, what is the central point of what I need to write in the get? Obviously, besides mentioning the man's name and the woman's name and the location, what are the words that turn this document into a sefer kritzot? Well, harei at muter t'chol adam. That's the essential point. Everything else would be part, except obviously for those details, everything else would be part of the actual form, but not of the Torah, be part of the Tofes. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, there's something else that it has to say. Because if you just write a Reat Muter L'Chol Adam, you are not making it very clear that it is this piece of paper that makes you Muter L'Chol Adam, right? So you might look at it as this is a proof that I was Megarish you. But how was I Megarish you? By sending you out, by telling you Areyat Muter L'chol Adam, which of course would not be a get. Therefore, says Rav Yehuda, you have to spell it out. You have to write the date, this piece of whatever, whatever the document is, paper, parchment, leaf, all the things we said it could be. The Dain, the Ahavi Lechi Minoi. So this, I guess best thing to say, this official document is what is going to be to you from me, a Sefer Teruchin, this is a different Lashonis of Sefer Kritut, a Sefer of sending you away from me, a Nigeret Shivukim, a letter that says that I've left you behind, a gate piturin, a contract of releasing you from any connection. Limahach, you can up and go, leitnaseva, to get married, lechol gevar, to any man, the yitzevin, whom you wish. And if you want to see what is the central point of giving a get to an eved, because remember, we learned the law la miisha, Gufa shoget shichrur, hare at bat chorin, or hare at la'at smech. Now, apparently over here, we don't find that Rabbi Yehuda argues. A lot of discussion among the Achronim, whether perhaps ein achinami. You don't need, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to say v'dein dihavi lich minoi. Because in this case, if you were mafkir your eved, so then he would be yotzi l'cheres, and you wouldn't need to write all of this. Okay, now, let's talk about lishonot that are not exactly the official lashon that we just granted the get as the norms. Pshita, obviously, let's say you would say, hareyat bat chori. So you write in a get, you are a free person. That's ridiculous. She was always a free person. Marriage is not an avdus, at least not for women. And therefore, if he writes to her that you are a free person, that's a meaningless statement. What does that have to do with getting divorced? If he said to the shivcha, on the other hand, hareyat muteret l'chol adam, that's a meaningless statement, because if he hasn't relinquished his rights to her work, so then she's not muteret l'chol adam, no matter what he says, and therefore it's a completely meaningless statement. But what about in a case where you would say to a woman, hareyat la'atzmeh, you're on your own. So what does that mean? Does he mean, I'm giving you all of your legal rights to do whatever you want to do, whether it comes to marriage, work, anything at all, the Gabri Komala? Or when he says you're on your own, he meant you can go get a job, you keep your own accounts, anything that has to do with finances. You know, we're separating our finances. So Lumalacha Komala, you don't owe me anything of your work. Omala Rivina Laravashi, listen. I'll bring you a raya from the Mishnah. Tashma titznan, gufa shaget shichrur, hare at bat chorin, or hare at le'atzmech. Now look, I mean, if you say those words to a shivcha, and I mean, over there, you actually owned the eved or the shivcha's body, right? So ma avda de kanila gufe. And just those words, at le'atzmech, means that I'm giving you over, not rights to your work. It means I'm giving you over your own self to you. So if that's good enough to actually cancel the very nature of avdus, which is a kinyan aguf, so if he says such a thing to a wife, we're over there, his demands on her are nowhere near what his legal rights are to an eved. So isha delokani guf, I mean, he doesn't have any rights to her as a person. So lo kol shekein, obviously it should be considered an absolute statement. You're on your own to be your own boss in every single way. So that's fine. That is definitely a proof. Omele Ravina L'Ravash, how about if you say to an eved, meaning not say, but you write in again, Emi Esegbach, I no longer have any kinds of issues with you, interests in you, nothing to do with you. So again, does that mean that he's actually letting him free, or does it mean you don't have to work for me anymore? Or some say Rav Chanin Michuzal Rav Ashi, Tashma, There's a braita that says, we had this sugya before, that if somebody sells an eved to an ove kochavim, so remember, we have this terrible knas, you had no right to sell your eved to an ove kochavim, you're going to have to pay up to 10 times as much as you sold him for, and you're going to have to buy him back, and you're going to have to free him when you buy him back. A disaster. So he was yotzei lechirut, and you still need a get shechrur from his original owner before he's allowed to marry a bas Yisrael. Omer of Shimon ben Gamliel, this is only true, b'medvarim amurim shelo katav alav ono. Well, you didn't write the official shtar for him. You didn't write a contract. But if you wrote the contract, then that contract serves as his actual documentation of the shichrur, so it's a get. Now, I don't know what that is. When you say you wrote a shtar, what is this ono? On Rav Sheshes, that is a specific way that you need to write to an eved, that when you sold him to the goy, and you write to the eved, if you run away from this guy, I have nothing to do with you. I cannot come back and re-enslave you. And so if that's the case, it means that Ainli Esek Bach is in fact a kosher shichra, because over here, as the ono, it would be the equivalent of a shichra, is what we're saying. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer. Now let's move on to the next case in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And he says the ikar of a get is insufficient for you to write a reyat mutar tochol adam, and you've got to make it very clear that it is this particular document that is actually creating the divorce and is not just a proof of divorce. So you have to write v'dein diyahavi lechi minoi, sefer teruchin, igeret shivukim, etc. So what really is the machlokas over here? B'maika mifugay. Very simple. It goes back to the machlokas that we had back in the Masechet Nedarim and Nazir. The machlokas is about yadayim she'enan mochichot. Look, contextually, a guy is giving a get, which says areyat muteret l'chol adam. So, I mean, don't you understand that the whole ceremony and the whole giving over, I mean, does he have to literally spell out verbally that it is this document when that's what he's doing? He says in a document, "Areyat muter tochol adam," hands it to her. I mean, like, how much more clear can you make it that this is the way that you are divorcing her? So why do you have to spell it out? If you hold yadayim she'ena mochichot or yadayim, so then afagad lo katav lavedein, it would be perfectly well. It's mukhamilta contextually. It's obvious. He wants to give her this get, and this is the modality of the gerishin. Masha'inkein, Rabbi Yehuda Safar, yadayim she'enan mochichot lo avid yadayim. These are not, it's not absolutely clear, because how do we know that it's not just a proof of divorce that he's giving her? And therefore, the only reason that we can be certain that it's meant to be the document of the get, taima, the katav lavedein, that makes it mukra milta. Then it's absolutely clear. This is the official way in which the gerishin is happening. But if he didn't write vedein, so then maybe people would misunderstand that when it says in the document, tareyat muter tochol adam, that is simply backing up what he's telling her verbally, hareyat muter tochol adam, and it's there to prove that she can now, what happens if she's going to go to another city? How could she prove she's divorced? So I'm giving you this document to show that I did indeed divorce you. But how did I divorce you? Where does it say I divorced you with this document? Therefore, tainis Rabbi Yehuda, if you hold yadayim she'eno mochichot, lo haven yadayim, these are yadayim she'eno mochichot. Now, we have some fabulously detailed issues in how to write a get without any ambivalence in the get. And as the Rambam says, if you're writing a get in any other language, now all of these diyukim are diyukim in the standardized form of a get, which is in Aramaic. But, says the Rambam, the same exact problems crop up in any other language, and you have to be very aware of possible ambivalence in the particular language that you're writing. Ambivalence in meaning, or ambivalence in spelling, So let's take a look at all the ambivalences that we need to consider when we're talking about Aramaic. First, let's talk about the spelling. Omer Abaye, Haiman deKasav Gita, you write again? Do not spell Vidain with a yud. Because if you spell Vidain, meaning and this, you could read that as Vidin. So the man would be saying, well, if the halacha is that I have to give you this get, then I'm giving you a get. But, I mean, if it turns out I didn't need to give you the get, I don't want to divorce you. So don't write it's a din, el of a dain without a yud, which means this. Now, do not write egeret with a yud, because the word egeret with a yud means a roof. And then it might mean that I'm providing you with a roof of in which you can withdraw with mess, but it has nothing to do with the divorce. You write egeret without a yud, which is not ambivalent. It means a letter. Don't write the word to go, which is limhach, that you'd be able to go and marry. Don't spell that with a yud, because then you could read it as li mihach, that this is to me from this. In other words, that you will be my wife when I give you this get. That's crazy. Don't write when you're now, this is not a spelling error. This is a writing ambivalence. Some people write a hey by attaching the letter to itself with a thin line. I'm sure you've seen this, right? Instead of leaving a gap between the roof of the hey and the foot of the hey, they have a slight line and then they widen the line when they get to the bottom. But then it could be written as limchach, which means, and this is a joke. Okay. So I'm giving you this document as a joke. Fine. Dimash for kichuka. Now, when you write the words, this is amazing. When you write the words that you will be allowed or whomever you want, write it with three yuds in a row. The yityahavyin and the yititzviin. Tlata, tlata, yudin. Those two words have to be spelled with three yuds, because then it's very clear that it means you are allowed, you desire. But otherwise, if you would write it with only two yuds, it might be a statement about women in general. They are allowed. They want. But I'm not giving that right to you. I'm saying that's the way women in general are given a right. And then when you're writing the letter vav, in the word teruchin, or in the word shivukin, which is talking about, this is the igeret of teruchin and the document of shivukim and so on, make sure that it doesn't look like a yud. So let it go down long, and that way it won't cause an ambivalence, because if it looks like a yud, it could be read tirichin and shivikin, meaning that this is a document for women who have been thrown out of the house and who've been abandoned, which fits in with the roof that he's setting up a woman's shelter. So if he gets all of these things wrong, it's actually a pretty consistent document. So he's creating a woman's shelter under his roof. And also, when you write the word kiddu, meaning now, if you write it without a long vav and it looks like a yud, then it would mean kiddi. Kiddi means with no kli. In other words, you should be divorced without any basis for the divorce. So it should be kiddi, which means not with this document. And then do not write the word le'itnaseva with an aleph after the lamed, because that could be read as not to marry, but rather not to marry. Lo itnasva. Of course, you're not allowed to marry with this get. So then write lehit nasva, to get married, even though lehit nasva is not, lehit nasva means that you should become married. And lehit nasva means that you should marry. But the lehit nasva could be read as lo itnasva. You're not allowed to get married. So again, anything like this, you've got to be very careful of. Double meanings and ways that letters can be confused, whether vav is with yuds or hey is with ches, And this would be true, as we said, in any language. Now, we had a question over here. The halacha is what? Do we need the Dain like Rabbi Yehuda, or do we not need the Dain? I mean, that's a very major difference. Well, Tashma, we know that Rava actually created a format for writing it. Now, we're not going to tell you the whole format, although the Rashi does bring it over here, but that he wanted to make sure that in a get we include, now this is not accurate what we're writing over here, because we're writing it from the point of view of the Edim, so that's really weird, but the get is not written as a contract from the point of view of the Edim. The get is written from the point of view of the speech of the husband. So it has to be saying, I am giving this to you. But okay, but so here we're looking at it from a perspective from outside. Ech planya bar planya. Now those words, ech planya bar planya, are always the way Edim speak, that we saw the way that so-and-so. Patar v'torech yad plunita intate, dahavi intate min kodem dana. So-and-so let go and sent away so-and-so, his wife, who was always his wife before this document, and from this day, forever, it's over. And he did not say anything about Vidane in that Takanas, or apparently he was Paskin, and we don't need Vidane. No, I mean, come on, look at all the other stuff that was left out over here. You know, I mean, the standard Gittin, he was only mentioning the special takona that he wanted to add, which we'll see in a moment what that is, but he's not coming to tell you the whole years of the get here. So, kulu mikama, you think this is the whole get? Obviously not. Elabinan, we need all of those other things. So maybe we need Bedvedain also. Achinami binan, I mean, we have all of that discussion of that you should be on your own and you can marry whoever you want and so on and so forth. He didn't say any of that. So maybe we do need it. So what actually is Rava adding then? Well, he added the words miyuma dinan from this day on. Why did he do that? Because he wanted to make it clear that we're not going, aliba de Rabbi Yossi, lafukim in Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that you don't have to write anything about me'akshav or me'ayom, because the very dating of the get, remember, is considered to be, and we paskin like that, that that's considered to be the zmano shel shtar mochiach alav. So he wanted to make it clear that we should be careful to say beferish miyuma danan, because what if people don't hold it for Yossi and so on, and then we end up with problems, and particularly in the case of a shchiv mira, where we've got the whole problem where he writes the get, he wants to make it dependent on when he dies, and people will think that that means he wants to give it li'achar misa. So he wanted to make sure that we don't ever have that kind of issue, and everyone will be clear about the fact that the get was chal while he was alive. Because otherwise, again, what's the reason that we do this? Because we're afraid that people will start gossiping. As always, we want to save women and children from people attacking them, claiming that, well, the get was spent afterwards, and really, really, it isn't a kosher get, and she never, maybe she didn't get yibum, or whatever the situation would be. So because of that, and we want to make certain that this isn't a problem. Plus, he also added the word ula alam. He said, and forever. Why did he need to say that? Well, because remember, Rava himself asked Reb Nachman, what would be the din where a guy gives a get and he says, this get is for today. So today we're not married, but tomorrow we should be married, right? So he asked over there, what would be the din? So it's true. Rava himself said, well, he realized as he was saying it, no, I mean, once already the get was chal, so then there's no way to reconstitute the marriage without making a marriage. But because of the fact that people, he saw that he himself was unclear about this until he worked it out in his head, he didn't want to leave any room for people to be unclear about this, in which they would say, well, it doesn't say it's a get forever. Maybe it was a get for a day. So therefore, he said, you need to spell it out. And when he had these workshops with the Sofrim that we talked about, where he would tell them what to be careful about, this was one of the things that he wanted to add. Whew. Amazing. Okay, very practical here, real advice for the dinim of ksivas haget. Now you can see why if a guy doesn't want to write a get on his own and he wants a professional, it's really not much of a bizoyan not to be, as the Gemara says elsewhere, anybody who doesn't have bekias in these dinim, don't have anything to do with these dinim, as there are so many of these amazing diukim that you have to know that it's really not worthwhile getting involved in the details. So we look forward to the possibility and the hope that if God spares us, then we get to see you again, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow, which would be absolutely marvelous. Kol tov, everyone. Have a wonderful day. And it's been so good to be together.